I suppose two. I think they've one or two things done that I like. I think Keenan Fahey into the half back line has definitely been an improvement. I'm expecting to play there in the championship. Gavin Lee, obviously having another year's experience under his belt and strengthening up, I think he's going to be a force. There are some of those other guys, maybe that have we've seen a bit of last year. Maybe Declan McLaughlin. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe you might be able to enlighten me. I know that he had a thumb injury from
He's out
Mary
of
Island.
sling. He's out of sling now. Back training
Another thing,
and
yeah.
yeah.
Again, I think he'd be a player that could be a first 15 guy. So again, they'd be something a little bit different from last year. I don't think that they have a huge amount to find from last year. Like, I'd probably be critical of them that they didn't win a Leinster Championship in the last couple of years. But probably what happened last year was very kind of misfortunate from their point of view. Like, they had everything done, but I just closed the deal out. And I just think I'd put them as front runners to win the Leinster Championship now in 2024 for me. I know obviously Kenny kind of set the standard and have been again effective and good in the league. Wasn't overly impressed with them on Saturday night. And I'm not sure they have a huge amount to find outside of TJ Reid. So if Mikey Butler and Mikey Carey to come back, all right, to be fair. But I just maybe liked what I saw from a physicality point of view from Galway and some snippets of stuff in the league. And if they can find us a couple of incremental improvements in last year, I think they'll definitely be a force with, and I think that they'll be number one in Leinster for me.
The Murrin and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
Welcome along to the Murrin and White Pod. This week, I'm joined by TJ Ryan to look ahead to Galway's championship campaign. But TJ, before we do that, last time we had you on the podcast, it was ahead of the Club All-Ireland final between Thomas's and O'Loughlin Gaels. Thomas's got over the line. I'm sure you caught up with them a few days after, but from being involved with that group, how pleased were you for them to see them get over the line?
Check, because I got huge satisfaction out of it. Know the group very well, obviously, from the management team to Connor and all the players. I've known exactly what they've been through over a long period of time. And they didn't get kind of the rub of the green in terms of injuries and players and having everybody available for a good number of those years. And when it did fall together for them after winning the semi-final, I was thrilled that they got their just rewards because, in my eyes anyway, they were already a great team. And to do six in a row and do what they did in Galway, obviously, it's an incredible achievement, but for this group to add a second All-Ireland club, it just kind of just rubber stamps everything and makes them a truly great team.
Did you get up to Thomas's a few days after?
I did. I was up there a couple of times, and sure, like normally we go up there, like the crack is good, like so. Yeah, I know a good few of them fairly well, so yeah, we touch base on a regular basis, and obviously, Kevin is well involved with the Galway team, so yeah, no, great memories from up there. And it's kind of like a club that, like I say, from outside of my own club, like it'd be always the first result you'd always check, or if you can get to the games, you try and get to them. Like, so that's kind of what it meant to us. And a good 3 years up there, like, so it ended well for me. As I said, obviously winning the three in a row, but I think they've even got better since we left. So fair play to them.
Can you talk about there when you left? Was it a tough decision to leave Thomas's Field?
Like, to be honest about it, it was in the sense that you were leaving a really good setup, and you knew, let's say, the quality that was there, and you knew the younger players that were coming through were definitely good and were going to make an impact. But I suppose from a personal point of view, where I'm living in Garry Spillane, like, I work in Limerick, so it's not too bad to commute from Limerick to Thomas's. But when finished training there on those wet Galway nights, which I'm sure you're well aware of, right? And it was probably about an hour and 25 minutes of a drive home. And I'd kind of obviously a wife and kids at home, like two sons, and Cormac was getting older and stuff like. And I were just conscious of spending a lot of time away from home and stuff like. So from that point of view, the decision was made a little bit easier. But I knew the ambition in the squad, and it was tricky to leave them, no doubt about that. But as I said, they've got better since we left, so fair play to them.
Already, not a lot of people are talking about it, but the club championship will be here in a few months again before you know it. And for those Thomas's lads, there might be this motivation internally to beat Peter's Wells' record and do 7 in a row.
Of course there will. And I'm sure when we get on to talk about the intercounty scene in a while, talking about five in a row, trying to do something that has never been done before is always very, very difficult. But in fairness, to put yourself in a position that you can have a shot at it, is great. And obviously great kudos to everybody involved to try and do something like that. But The fact that they were never done before is difficult, but yeah, we'll watch with great interest, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of Galway clubs looking to make sure it doesn't happen. And you can see maybe some of the other clubs are definitely improving around them. Like, but it was competitive this year, like in semi-finals and final and stuff like. So we'll watch this space. But a truly fantastic club now is all I can say. St. Thomas's, and a lot of colleagues and friends up there. Like, and I can only wish them the best of luck, and I'll certainly be roaring for them anyway.
Ennis is getting closer. Sunday week, obviously, Limerick and Clare get the championship started. But to start it off, who are now favourites for the All-Ireland for you?
I'm going to probably start with the fact that league form can sometimes be a little bit misleading. You'd like to see some things going well for you. You'd like to maybe get a couple of wins and maybe see something that you might say, that'll work later in the summer, or a couple of players that could have an impact and stuff. So you wouldn't want to get too carried away about it. So I think maybe to get a true line of form, you kind of go back to last year's championship and say, right, where were teams at and did you see some bit of improvement? So I still think that Limerick are in a very good place. John, in fairness, him trialed a good few players in the league, and like there are a couple of players now which have done their apprenticeship, and I think you'll see a bit more of them. Like, I'm probably talking about the likes of maybe Fergal O'Connor, who had a good this giving campaign as well. Colin Coughlin, Cathal O'Neill, Adam English, Shane O'Brien. So I just think that those type of players, I think we'll see a bit more of them, and I think they've got their time served. So I just think that they'll strengthen the squad, and if they could maybe put a bit of pressure on. Maybe to perceive the first 15 from last year, I think John will be happy, and I think it'll kind of drive things on. Obviously, staying injury free would be a big thing from Limerick point of view as well. So I still think they'll be favourites. I think they are favourites in the bookies, and in my eyes, that I mean, the rest of them have got to come up a bit. So on championship form, I think the rest of them teams have something to find, but they are closing, I do think.
With those Limerick lads coming back from injury, we've only seen them in the latter stages of the league. Do you expect that we mightn't see them from the start in Ennis?
I do. I think that, the lads have always judged where guys were at physically and in training. And if you even go back to maybe the Munster final last year, John made a couple of changes that maybe a lot of people didn't foresee and stuff. So he very much is kind of clued into what's going on in the training ground and to make sure the guys are ready and able. And so if let's say the 4 weeks, let's say the past since league semi-final, the guys didn't get up to speed, I do think that he'll stay with some of the guys that have been playing.
Just Clare, because there's a lot of talk around them as genuine All-Ireland contenders this year and that they can finally get over the line. Is it a challenge then for Clare and Brian Lowe now to control this hype?
I think, to be fair, I was actually at the league final on Saturday night, and I met a good few Clare people. So I think they were very much relieved, first of all, to put a trophy on the table, because the team has been very good for the last number of years, and they deserve something, and now they have something to show for it. So I think they'll gain confidence from it. I think their supporters will gain confidence from it. Like, they won the league without Tony Kelly, and let's say obviously Shane O'Donnell only had a cameo part in the final, and Ryan Taylor didn't perform, and did other guys coming back, and you've probably seen with some of the subs they brought on Saturday night maybe the strength of their first 20 heading into championship. Like, so I think they're in a good place, and they are genuine contenders. I think in Munster in the last couple of years, Limerick got the rub of the green late on in some of those competitions. So from the point of view of genuine contenders, I definitely think they are. No, I'm going to contradict that in a minute, but I think they are genuine contenders.
Are Limerick and Clare at number one and two now for you?
I think so. I think the other teams have got something to find. I did, speaking about the league, I did see some snippets of something in Cork, maybe in different periods of the game, maybe the first 15 minutes after halftime against Waterford, and let's say maybe take out the first half against Kilkenny, let's say for the next 20, 25 minutes where they came back from the deficit to go ahead. So they have maybe a consistency in getting all their players on the field. Mark Coleman is back, getting Robbie O'Flynn back on the field with all their other guys, and Alan Connolly is back. So I do see something in them, which I think has them improvers as well. So I'd be a little concerned about them. But Limerick and Clare would certainly be, the fact that they're Ireland champions and league champions would appear to be in the one and two bracket at the moment, yeah.
By the sounds of that, is that a Cork number three now for you?
I think so. I think they're in the first three anyway, definitely. I think they'll qualify. I think again, going back to my pieces of form in terms of last year's championship and in the league, I think that they have something, whereas there's question marks big time about Tip and Waterford. I just don't know what to expect. I'm very much on sitting on the fence in terms of Waterford. I just don't know what to expect from Davy. Yeah, I heard that they've had a good training camp away, and you know, we haven't seen them since the last round of the league. But you know, overall, they have a couple of players like Osley and them not with them, maybe. So can they galvanize everything and beat Cork in the first round of the championship and get a momentum? I'm not so sure.
Obviously, Galway is the focus here now, but so far, what have you made of Galway in 2024?
I suppose two, I think they've one or two things done that I like. I think Keenan Fahey into the half back line has definitely been an improvement. I'm expecting to play there in the championship. Gavin Lee, obviously having another year's experience under his belt and strengthening up, I think he's going to be a force. There are some of those other guys, maybe that have we've seen a bit of last year. Maybe Declan McLaughlin. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe you might be able to enlighten me. I know that he had a thumb injury from
He's out of
area in his
sling. He's out of sling now. Back training
other thing.
and
Yeah.
yeah.
Again, I think he'd be a player that could be a first 15 guy. So again, they'd be something a little bit different from last year. I don't think that they have a huge amount to find from last year. Like, I'd probably be critical of them that they didn't win a Leinster Championship in the last couple of years. But probably what happened last year was very kind of misfortunate from their point of view. Like, they had everything done, but I just closed the deal out. And I just think I'd put them as front runners to win the Leinster Championship now in 2024 for me. I know obviously Kenny kind of set the standard and have been again effective and good in the league. Wasn't overly impressed with them on Saturday night, and I'm not sure they have a huge amount to find outside of TJ Reid. So they have Mikey Butler and Mikey Carey to come back, all right, to be fair. But I just maybe liked what I saw from a physicality point of view from Galway and some snippets of stuff in the league. And you know, if they can find us a couple of incremental improvements in last year, I think they'll definitely be a force with, and I think that they'll be number one in Leinster for me.
And why go ahead and kill Kenny for you?
Like, going back to what I'm saying is about maybe seeing the little bits of improvement, and let's say from the championship last year, if you set that as your kind of maybe as your template and where you see the areas of teams have kicked on, I'm just not sure that the Kilkenny forwards will be any majorly different in 24 to last year. I think they had to rely on that late, like Kilkenny style, staying in the game, late goal from Killian Buckley last year. Mikey Carey's back, all right. TJ Reid's at a year older. I see more improvement in Galway. Now, they still have to go and do it on a given day, but that's just the way I see it right now, that they're potential improvers with some of the young players they have coming on.
At the same time, with guests I've had on in the podcast throughout the year, there's still a lot of unknowns about Galway in certain positions, particularly at 3 and 6. What are they going to do? Because at the minute, there's so many options there when you consider Dáil Brech's been out at 7, Gareth Mack, Shane Cooney, Fintan's played at 3, Keenan Fahey's played at 6. Particularly in the backs, we're still not 100% sure as Galway supporters.
I get that. And I'm going to probably maybe just got qualified as ended. Like, number 3 and 6 maybe aren't as kind of structured and solid at times as they have been in the past. The position becomes more fluid. Teams playing with two up top, and you're kind of maybe, you know, you're looking for man markers. And like, I think I'd trust Fintan. Like, I've seen what Thomas has done with him, and he's been in these one-on-one situations. And I think he has something to bring to the table. As I said, they've moved Keenan Fahey. I know he might play as out six, but he might move across the line and maybe take somebody on. But I just feel that there's something in Galway that they'll fix those pieces. Shane Cooney's back as well. And you know, Thomas is winning, and what they did in the club championship, I think it'll give a bit of a breath of fresh air to maybe the challenge as well for 24. Like, so I can see them fixing them. I hear what you're saying, but I can see them being fixed.
Are you surprised Shane Cooney hasn't got more game time? Because bare that game against Tip, we didn't really see him in the league.
Yeah, I think he was kind of carrying a bit of a knock there for a while and stuff, and then obviously, I mean, he had a bit of a delayed comeback because of, let's say, the club campaign. Like, but I just think that he has something to offer, and I think that You know what they've done, like we're not privy to what's going on in training at the moment. And I think that an awful lot of teams, like I know there was a couple of challenge matches. I know Dublin played Limerick last Saturday and probably played Cork and stuff. And you'd be always curious, I told you before, it's what the half time score was because you know they're kind of going full on for the fourth half and they make a lot of changes and stuff like that. I see something like with all the youngsters coming through there. I see that Galway could be, I'm down as potential improvers, and that's why I kind of have my head a kicking right now. Obviously, I've been wrong before, Paul, so we'll watch this space.
It's just vital though, TJ, isn't it really? Just for Galway to win Leinster, because just to get that piece of silverware somewhat early on in the year under Henry.
I think that winning gives huge confidence to not just the players, but the backroom team, the management team, the supporters, and they can see that bit of progression. And I think we're probably all guilty of judging teams by maybe trophies on the table and stuff. So I just think that, like, from the efforts over the last 2 years, you know, I think Galway were disappointed that they hadn't something to show for it. So from that sense, yes, Leinster is important. And I think that that would be a great start. And it also, to win the Leinster Championship, as you know, would put them seeded in a semi-final opposite to the winners of Munster and stuff, put them in a good position. So for 2024, whether Galway people like to hear this or not, I think it's crucial that they win Leinster.
It's interesting because they play Carlow in the first game on the 21st, and it's a game you'd expect them to win relatively
Yes.
easily. Then they play Kilkenny in round two in Pierce Stadium on the 28th of April. Is that game crucial, or is it not going to be crucial in the long term scheme because they're likely to meet again?
I think the second one there, yeah. I think that for me, I think they're going to be number one and two. So whatever happens there, you just go and try and win the rest of your games. Whoever loses the game, or maybe like last year, maybe a manufacturer draw, and move on, and then both teams meet again down the road. Like so, like that. Yeah, that's probably my sentiments anyway.
Yeah, and with that, I think it's Wexford after. So if you can go, if even if you're after at the those three games at 6 points, you're in a great position to go to Antrim. Antrim have been struggling this year. If they can kind of get on top of things early on, they could have a Leinster final spot wrapped up nearly by that Dublin game, and that's probably what you want because that Dublin game has caused us enough issues in the past.
Yeah, I think what you just said there is exactly what you want, but I just have Kilkenny and Galway in a position where they're the other lads. I know Wexford had got some good results early on in the league, especially, but they were disappointed the last day against Cork, and yeah, that leaves a little bit of a question mark about me. And maybe that first round game between Dublin and Wexford down there will give one of them maybe a bit more of an impetus than the other, because obviously someone will be coming off the back of a defeat. But for me, right now, I'd give Wexford a good chance of being third. And I'd probably be tipping them maybe to kind of maybe sneak because of that home tie against Dublin in the first round, that they might get a result. Keith Rossiter's doing a good job. They have a good coaching team down there. I liked a lot of what they did in the league. Yeah, maybe I draw a line through the last game, but if they can kind of re replicate what they were doing early on, I give them a good chance. And I suppose get their big players on the field, likes of Lee Chaney, et cetera, et cetera.
You just mentioned you've seen improvements in Galway. Have you seen anything different?
I did. I've seen a couple of maybe goals, or maybe going for goals that maybe Eamon O'Shea might be bringing to the table, or maybe a little bit more focus on it. The goal that Conor Whelan got, you probably remember the ball that Conor
Yeah.
Cooney passed him. And I did see it tried once or twice in other games where I see maybe, I'm not sure whether there's a bit of a focus on it or a bit more talked about or whatever, or maybe getting the confidence of the forwards up to maybe have a go at these things. Like, so I've seen one or two of those little moves to me, which again, as I said, sure, it has me thinking that there's a bit of improvement here. And obviously everybody is judged on what's coming down the track in the championship games, and we'll be looking back on this to say you were wrong or you were right. Like, but I do see those.
Conor Cooney, someone you mentioned there, he's been harshly criticised when it comes to Galway hurling, and it's just so hard to understand. But the way he started this year, like carrying the club form into the county form, it's probably the biggest positive so far for Galway.
Huge positive. Shapers, he's had some magnificent games, and he carries the line so well, and he's physically so strong. And you know, I know what Conor does, and he works so hard, and you know, he trains so hard, and great leader in the room, and an awful lot of the players look up to him. Like, so I think he definitely starts, and like like I'd probably also be of the opinion, like even like David Burke in the middle of the field has been effective, and it's good to see him back. Like, but I'd be of the opinion with these type of players in all counties that until you can show me better, I mean that they still play. And as I said, there's definitely room for them in my first 15 anyway, for definite.
Is Connor just one of these players? You let him do his own thing?
Like obviously he's got that flair and that ability, but at the same time I've seen him like doing a job for the team, whether it's like in the middle of the field or hard work coming forward or finishing inside. I just think he's got all those attributes to his game. And like I said, ball that he gave Conor Whelan there for that goal I spoke about a while ago, like that's in his locker. Like, so he put an absolutely inch perfect pass into his hand. Like, so yeah, I think he's got a lot to offer, and 2024 could be a big season for him.
Who do you start in the Galway forward line with him for championship?
Well, Wheelo starts anyway, doesn't he? Like, I suppose I'd probably be ch challenging to say who plays in the middle of the field, but like,
It's
if you
probably
take
Lennon and David Burke at this stage.
Linnane and David Burke, yeah. So Tom Monaghan starts, Conor Cooney starts, Conor Whelan starts, like Brian Kilcannon fully fit, Gavin Lee, these type of players. Like, for
It
me,
probably. For me, it probably comes between Tom Holland or Evan Ireland at number 11.
yeah.
That's the one.
We spoke about free taking on the Delo show there quite a bit recently, and the importance of it. Like, so again, like Evan Nyland's been excellent, and even the scores he got against Limerick there and stuff, like he's really important to that Galway team as well. Like, so but I think, and maybe even we saw that against Limerick, the way maybe a number 10 and number 12 is operating in the modern game. It's probably very difficult to get a full 70 minutes out of them. So you might be thinking more about maybe the eight or nine forwards who are going to play on a given day rather than just six, you know. So I think filling that maybe up to nine or 10 players is going to be really more important. Or certainly maybe from the midfield up, you're attacking eight players, you'll need plenty of players, and I mean guys to come in and do 20-minute roles and stuff. So it might be, I mean, different strokes for different days.
Yeah, and it's probably I'd say we're going to see Joseph Cooney back up in the forwards, probably just with the options we have in the backs now.
Yeah, he's a tank of a man as well. Like, and he brings a different type of a physicality to, let's say, obviously Galway's play. Like, and big, strong man. And again, that would be one of the challenges for the lads. Is that, I was talking recently about, let's say, Clare in the league final, where they had David Fitzgerald at 10 and Peter Duggan at 12, and they just had sandwich between them, like a Mark Rogers or maybe a David Reedy at times, where they were interchanging. So, in terms of the mix, it definitely suited and fitted well for them.
Just with this Galway side, you mentioned you have them number one for Leinster at the minute. Could you see an All-Ireland in this Galway group this year?
If they find the improvement that we're talking about, like, and get a couple of things right, there's no doubt you could. Obviously cementing Henry back into the position, and like maybe some of the younger players that he's kind of maybe introduced to the squad, he may be looking at maybe to try and build it, and maybe it might be a 25, say year 25 project in terms of to be proper All-Ireland contenders. But like, we're all living in the now. I think internally they'll want to win Leinster first. I don't think that maybe All-Ireland conversations maybe should be on top of everybody's list in Galway right now. I think what you'd like to see would be get the ball rolling, see if these improvements that we're talking about here are happening, go and win Leinster title, win that, position yourself in All-Ireland semi-final, and then talk about it. Like, I think that like only one team can win the All-Ireland. You could have a very good season and you could get maybe chinned or whatever. So what I'm saying, I think to put a trophy on the table would be a great start for them. And then that done, I'll come back and talk to you after the Leinster final, and then we'll talk about Galway winning the All-Ireland. How's that?
The Johnny Glynn return.
Again, like I said to you there about maybe the nine or 10 players to play in that front bracket and different strokes for different days, I think he's an option. I think he's something different. And like, what's the harm in having a look at something like that? That maybe he could do a job at a position number 10 or number 14 at a time that might suit the team. And he's done that in the past. So as a project, definitely worth having a look at. Like, I'd probably, in order to make a proper call on it, and the same as yourself, is I'd need to see and how he's going and training in those 15 and 15s and what he's doing in order to see can he break in. And I just think that the guys that you have over the team, they're well capable of making that call. Like, but definitely as a project, he's something different to your younger, lighter players. So, I think it's good news.
With the way things are, probably everyone knows he's in New York. It's probably a 5 to 10 minute roll, really, is it?
It is, but like as I said, that might be crucial. You
Mm,
know,
yeah.
if your level going down the stretch, or you maybe a point or two down, and you want to lump a bit of old fashioned long ball to the 14 position, like, and he does a job for you. Why not have it in the locker? At least if you look around, he's an option, isn't he?
For sure, for sure. Just on the backs at the minute, everyone knows Barry Nash's role, but something Galway have tried this year is to play Port Mannion in that four role and nearly get him to be your ball playing cornerback and to get the short puck outs. Do you see them sticking with that?
I do. As I said, it's unusual for a team now to play with three players up top all the time in the full forward line. So it's definitely getting more common that it's nearly a two-man line in general play. And you like then your spare man to be a good ball player, good striker, good reader of the game, and you don't come much better than Pádraig Mainneán for that role. Like, so what you might find is that maybe teams with two men full forward line be kind of saying, right, I maybe not Pádraig Mainneán anyway, close him down. You know what I mean, so it might become a bit more challenging for it. But I do think it's a position that's very influential in the game. Puck outs are huge as well. And especially when you come under pressure. And as I said, whether Johnny Glynn is an option for that 5 or 10 minutes, or Joseph Cooney becomes an option for a while, or let's say a Pádraig Mainneán becomes options for puck outs and uses them well. You know, they are the pieces that maybe Galway will look back on last year and at specific times in the game to say, you know what, maybe if we'd done this, this, or this. And I think they're all the options that they're looking at, and they're dead right to have a look at all these things and try and be ready for what's coming down the track.
Would you agree that they have healthy competition now building in this panel?
Actually, there is, yeah. Like I said,
Yeah.
I don't know. Did I read it was a 30 or 31 players used throughout the league or
Yeah, it's
something?
about 38 on the panel altogether then, yeah.
Yeah, but as I
Yeah.
said, plenty of
Yeah.
guys getting game
Yeah.
time, and you know, plenty of youngsters in the panel as well. Like, so
Yeah.
I do think so. Yeah, I do. I do think on a given day, I do think you might find different roles for different players depending on the opposition and sizing up where the opposition play. Like, so. Yeah, I do. I like it. And as I said, even David Burke in the middle of the field, like he has a role to play. Like his leadership and his ability to link to play and what he did for Thomas's, like that performance, like in the All-Ireland Club final, like why can't he do that again in Leinster final day, you know? So I do think there's plenty of options there. And I think you'll have plenty of players. Like they'll have no, they might have a challenge maybe nailing down who maybe is perceived to be their top 20 or whatever, because I think you'll have plenty of fellas knocking on the door.
Last prediction. Where do you see Galway finishing in 2024, if you should call it?
I've predicted this type of stuff already, so I can't go change in my mind now just because I'm on a Galway forum, and as much as like the tip, like they kind of say you need to know your audience. But I'm going to say that Galway will win Leinster in 2024. They will get to an All-Ireland semi-final, but I think that they'll come unstuck by the Munster teams in the semi-final. Like maybe you can come back to me and say that after the Leinster final, we can talk. We talk about that. I obviously from what's gone on in the past championships, I still have Limerick, and I'm like, we're all gung ho down here to try and see if we can do something that hasn't been done before. So I have Limerick been in the All-Ireland final, and I just, as I said, I've tipped these before and they've left me down, but I'm going to give them one last chance. I think Cork, I see a huge improvement in them. I see a huge pace game that they're going to play. I think the summer will suit them. They were close last year. Even though they didn't finish in the first three, they were very close to every team and very close to Limerick as well, right? And they've added a couple of players. Most significantly, I would say Mark Coleman, Robbie O'Flynn, and Alan Connolly. So staying injury free, I see them as a team from last year that has maybe the most gained. And I'm going for a Limerick Cork All-Ireland final, obviously with Limerick to try and do something that hasn't been done before. That's where I'm sitting. And as I said, we all have to get off the fence and nail our colours to the mast.
Cork, I'll have to hold you to that. I don't think
Yeah.
many people predict it, but it's a bold call.
It's a bold call. And as I said, there are my reasons for it with the players that they've back. Like, yeah, I could, you could definitely argue back with me about maybe a couple of positions, like maybe right down the middle, like starting with our maybe goalkeeper full back. And, could there be a possibility that Seamus Hannity, Conor Lahan, and Patrick Horgan will still be three of their forwards? I get all that. But as I said, I see some of their new players and flair players and seen some of the bits and stuff from them in the league. I've seen them twice in the league, and I just think that there might be something there. They have a consistency piece to fix, but there's a big crowd down there, Mark Landers included, starting to grow in confidence and like what they're seeing. And I think that you'll hear them roaring as the summer goes on.
Just with that, you mentioned one of your colleagues from your podcast there, Mark Landers and Anthony Daly, obviously presenting it. How has that been over the last few years? Because in the last few years, it's been unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I suppose even this weekend, like a lot of hurling people, you always tune in. Like I was at the game on Saturday night, and you always tune in to maybe the analysts afterwards. And unfortunately, with the way the RTE and the amount of games there is in football, the lads don't get that much of a chance to talk about the game and maybe go through topics. Whereas we have that fluidity and time and podcasts, and yeah, it's been reasonably like we'd have a good pop off each other, and like maybe add a bit of a story here and there, as people know. And we get on well. Like we tour on a regular basis, and we would socialize on a regular basis together, and we're able for to hop off each other. But it's been like, as I said, a good opportunity to discuss all things hurling. And I just think that the game of hurling deserves like what you're doing here now, to talk about Galway and where they're going, and just maybe to trash it out there, because the appetite for hurling and GAA in general up and down the country, from what we've seen being out and about, is huge. And I just think at times that maybe from a broadcasting point of view, whether it's opportunity or maybe the lack of will to maybe do something, I wouldn't be the biggest soccer fan in the world, but things like Monday Night Football, looking at some of the tactics and some of the stuff, I just think that there's an opening for some of that stuff in hurling that you can really go after and see how teams are setting up and talk about structures, like you talk about maybe Cathal Mannion in the number four role. So the podcast has given us an opportunity to do that. And I think that's something that will develop over time. Somebody might come up with some sort of TV program, or maybe a YouTube channel, or maybe a GAA channel that will work and we can all tune into, because I think the game deserves it.
Yeah, particularly from the weekend, I think we're all looking forward to sitting down to watch the league final highlights. And as Mark Landers was saying on your podcast, he went to get the tea and it was nearly over by then, like with the 12
Yeah,
minutes.
yeah, 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 yeah. So yeah, no, it'll plenty lots to look forward to. That's the beauty of the game. Like, and I just think the game's in a good place. I think split season is working in general, like a couple of tweaks here and there. But like as you said there, no, Ennis from our point of view down here would be hopping like local derby. Plenty of games to look forward to. And as I said, from your point of view, you gotta just go away and get yourselves into a Leinster final and sort that little piece out you didn't do in the last 2 years. Simple enough.
Are you keen at all, TJ, to get back into the management game?
Oh, Chippers Paul, there'd be days when I'd be kind of looking and said, you know what, I wouldn't mind getting back in the sideline. And I stopped talking shite about it on podcasts and on the radio and publicly. You kind of said the grass always there. Like, so if you said to me, like, would you like to be down maybe as part of a management team or whatever into the future, it might be something you'd have a look at. But I think the management days might have flown. I'm quite happy from a lifestyle choice where I am right now. And it's definitely easier, and I suppose I'm fully aware in what these people, sometimes that goes unknown, people think they know about it, but these guys are at this like 7 nights a week, making calls, getting everything organized, and jeepers, what's involved in inter-county setup now is like far removed even from when I was there a number of years ago. Like, so it's a tough gig. You'd nearly want to be full-time.
Is the coaching something you prefer now?
Do you know, I enjoy the coaching. I enjoy looking at a game and trying to see is there pieces of the game that maybe you could try and do to nullify the opposition, or that might maybe suit your team or whatever. And I'm involved with the minors at home, Garry's Bland, for the coming year. And we have a nice group of players there, and my son is involved, and it's a very enjoyable project overall. The weather has been shocking, so we haven't much done. And I suppose there's nothing we can all do about that. Like, yeah, as I said to you before, I was used to the rain up in Galway, but like this spring has been horrendous altogether. So we're all looking forward to maybe bit of nice weather and the ball hopping off the ground, and as such, I'll have that sideline each scratched with a minor championship in Limerick. So for now, that'll do fine.
And one last thing before we finish. You mentioned you're off to Aintree to me off air. For the Galway hurling fans, what's their one tip for Aintree this weekend?
Like, it won't be a huge price. Dale gave one there on his podcast for Lecky Watson. That might be a price, maybe. I think he's running either Friday or Saturday. Definitely worth having a look at. It might be a working man's price, they say. But in the national, Cormac Rambler will be a 5 or 6 to 1 shot. One nice bit of spare. If you look at the replay of last year's Grand National between the second last, the last, the horse had a huge amount in hand. He's going up to, he's carrying 11 stone 5, finished third in the Gold Cup. He's one that'll be carrying my few bob on Saturday. So that's Cormac Rambler. To do two in a row.
We'll hold you to that. There'll be a lot of people
No
thanking you
problem.
if it comes through. That's all we do. Time for on today's podcast. TJ Ryan, thanks a million for coming on.